Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's our delight to have you on board with us. We look forward to each day as we enter into the discussion of these issues. We look forward to having you join with us, ask your questions, give your input, be a part of the program. This program is designed around you, our listener, a Q&A program that will allow you to participate in each of the broadcasts. Let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on truth. I realize that's a word that is lost in the vocabulary of humankind today. I realize truth is not something that is sought after, generally speaking, but we must face the issues based on truth. And Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said, thy word is truth, in John 17:17. It is the word of God that is the fundamental foundation of all truth. And when you open the word of God, you find a book of truth, not just a little tidbit here and there of truth, but a book in totality of truth. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that's pretty popular in the fake news headlines and fake news media outlets across the nation. It is a pretty popular subject among the transsexuals, the homosexuals, and the ones that are gender confused and have gender dysphoria as to what they really are. It's called toxic masculinity. Perhaps you've heard that term, toxic masculinity. Ponder that for a moment. What does it mean? Why do you keep hearing that? What's the connotation? What is the intent of that being used across the nation and in all venues of fake news today in particular? But before we get into that, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Conservative Theological University is in its spring semester. We've got about 3 weeks behind us now in the new semester for 2019. You still have an opportunity to jump on board and become a part of the classroom session. Conservative Theological University offers courses that's on the traditional classroom setup where you can come into classes on campus. You can do it by way of personalized distant education where you can study at your own home or in your office. We provide programs of study by way of internet e-courses. Some of them are on video courses, MP3 and the DVD courses, or you can do your studies, a combination of all of them. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, if God's called you to serve him in the way of ministry, Sunday school, deacon, perhaps it's vocational or bivocational ministry, evangelism, missions, Christian education, Christian counseling, pastoral ministry, whatever the area, I believe if God's called you, God's also called you to study and to prepare yourself. That is a mandate in the scripture if we're going to reach others with the gospel and impact their lives. The programs of study at Conservative Theological University are theologically sound. All of them are doctrinally conservative, realistically practical, and financially affordable. We have some special grants and scholarships available for this semester. If you jump on board, let me remind you, you can get information by calling 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's a number that can reach the campus nationwide. If you want to call a local number, it's 904-262-8275, 904-262-8275. Leave your contact information, name, address, telephone number, email contact. Let someone in the admissions office to get back with you and to see what we can do to get a program prepared for you and to get you on board. Don't let financial difficulties stop you from becoming a part of the study if God's called you to ministry in any area. I believe if God's called you, God can make it work. So we've had the philosophy and the approach throughout the years since 1982. If God's called you and you feel impressed to the Lord to get on board and get involved in your studies, we'll work with you to set up a program that's structurally sound, that meets your need, and is affordable for you and for your budget. 1-800-GO-BIBLE gets you through to the offices, or 904-262-8275. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you on board today. Looking forward to this discussion. By the way, you can call us and join in this dialogue and discussion about toxic masculinity by dialing 401-1413, 401-1413. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, in today's what I call uber liberal society, with the foundations of our ethics and morals and values and biblical principles all under attack, we're now hearing the term toxic masculinity. All of the fake news, all of their talking heads are using this term, and it comes out of the LGBTQ and the transsexual, the homosexual, the progressive movement today. It's a movement that's designed to undermine, tear down, and destroy the masculinity that God's placed in his world, in charge of his program and the world in which we're living today. A lot of this is brought to new head and new headline when Gillette Razor Company had an ad on television. I don't know if they're still playing it or not. I assume that they are. It's brought a lot of ire from the conservative groups across America. Here's an article that says, why Gillette's new ad campaign is toxic. In the ad, the body of the article, that is, says Gillette's ad says, we believe in the best in men, end quote. The ad is about 1 minute, 48 seconds in length, and it goes on to say in this article, men, as a narrator, makes reference to bullying, sexual harassment, toxic masculinity, and then it poses the question, is this the best a man can get? The viewer then sees depictions of series of very ugly and negative behaviors, including bullying, fighting, sexual harassment, blatant interference with a woman speaking in the workplace. The ad goes on to state, is it time for men to stop making excuses and to renounce the idea that boys will be boys, end quote. Further in this article, it says, reaction to we believe in the best in men has been overwhelmingly negative, and comments on it, its own YouTube channel, running negative by an astonishing 10-to-1 margin. Listen, the public's acceptance of this Gillette Razor Company's ad, wherein they depict men as being rapist, bullies, arrogant, skirt chasers, etc., etc., etc. It is rated 10-to-1 as being negative and bad. The much larger group who dislike the ad includes many men who are saying the ad is insulting. It's insulting for men, and it's stereotyping men. Further in this article, it says it's difficult to see how many men would find it presumptuous of Gillette to portray itself, listen, to portray itself as the leader in the role model of masculinity, as opposed to influentials in others in their lives, such as clergy, father role, mother role, and teachers. In other words, this writer in this particular article is saying that somehow, some way, Gillette has determined that it's going to be the role model of masculinity and not allow your pastor, your father, your mother, or your teacher set the example and tell you anything about it. Someone said in this article, the use of the term toxic masculinity in the ad was a flat-out mistake, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not only a mistake, but it is misjudging, I believe, the character, the characteristics, and the conduct of American men in general. It's trying to tear down and destroy the warp and the woof of the family unit. So what does the word toxic masculinity really mean? The word toxic means bad, poisonous, deadly. The word masculinity, of course, means maleness, male or man. So generally speaking, the term toxic masculinity is saying that a man is poisonous, is deadly, and is bad for society. Ladies and gentlemen, what the toxic masculinity movement really is saying today, it is a has a designed purpose, and the groups behind it happen to be no less than the LGBTQ, the transgender, and the progressive areas that are challenging the very basic values of the Judeo-Christian worldview, challenging who we are as men, challenging the Word of God so subtly but yet so realistic in what they're doing. Those in the so-called Me Too movement, the Women's March movement, and the LGBTQ have now decided that the way to stop any communication and conversation about biblical morals and biblical values and biblical ethics is to simply say that you're a racist or that it's toxic masculinity. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, since most do not know what God's Word says about masculinity, since most do not know what God's Word says about the role of the male in the home and the family and in the world, since most of society not involved in Bible study and reading the scripture and seeing, when they are called, when the statement is made that it's toxic masculinity or the term racist or anything of that nature, it's designed to prevent you from furthering the conversation. It is a statement made by one that doesn't know the conversation, doesn't know enough about the issues, that he simply wants to cut off and make you silent. And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, so often when toxic masculinity is mentioned, so many just simply drop out of the conversation and become silent. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear the term toxic masculinity, just how should we respond to it? Just what do we know about it? What is it designed to do? And who's designed and crafted these terms in society today? This movement today is designed to feminize men and to promote ungodly, homosexual, transsexual, transgender, gender dysphoric people in their movement today. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question and comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. I'm glad you're safely back from your excursion to our capital city.
Yes, thank you.
Listen, I'm going to speak briefly, but I'm going to speak intensely. I'm also going to speak with authority. I'm not expressing an opinion. I'm standing on the Word of God. You're in an
Amen.
Area that I've been studying for a long time, and I'm just going to use a couple of quick examples. The first statement I want to make is masculinity is essential to the welfare of the world in which we live, the secular and the spiritual. When you remove the essential masculinity, your culture dies. That is the lesson of history. Now, I want to make these two points. And I'm going to use what for some will be an obscure verse of scripture. From Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4, the Bible says, where there are no oxen in the crib or the stall is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Masculine behavior, because of the hormone testosterone, can sometimes be fairly unsavory. But the positive result of testosterone is that we are pushed forward into the future by the natural, aggressive, border-challenging inclinations of men. That can be negative, they can be positive. But when it's channeled in the positive direction by the gospel and by the Holy Spirit, good things happen. America yes. is an example of that, established by strong and godly, very male, alpha male fellows. The third verse, the second verse I want to talk about is Genesis 3:16 in the area of the great proto-evangelium of the gospel. And the last part of verse 16 of chapter 3 of Genesis says, in speaking to the woman, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. For the longest time, we haven't really understood the full meaning of that verse. The natural desire for the woman is to overpower and rule her husband. God ordained male leadership. Won't budge on that argument. God ordained
Absolutely.
Male leadership. The natural inclination, because of the fallen nature of humanity, is for the woman to rule. the best example that I can think of in popular culture today of what happens when the female spirit overpowers the male spirit, which is what is happening in our country today, because there's so many split families and women are raising sons, turning them into unspeakably dysfunctional human beings. There's a young man named Desmond. I think now he's 12. When he was 8, his mother marched him in a transvestite parade. And she's holding a sign that says, "Proud Mom." And this young man with unspeakably horrible female clothing, garish clothing, is strutting and swaggering in female version down the streets in a gay parade, celebrating as a prepubescent male his female spirit. It is demonic as it can be. But I'll tell you what, there's Celine Dion right now is promoting a line of gender-neutral clothes, and they're using little male models to do this. Here's the point in my final statement. Essential masculinity, when it is leached out, causes the culture to die, say, in a secular sense and a spiritual sense. That's why homosexuality is the alarm clock for the end of a culture when it happens, and the best example may be the Roman Empire, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Edward Gibbon, 15 of the last 17, I think it was, of the Roman leaders were transvestite, homosexual, non-male type people. The culture fell. They were overrun by the Huns, Goths, Visigoths, all the great Germanic masculine tribes. You're right on an important subject this morning. A godly man is the essential foundation of the culture. Where there is no ox, the crib is clean, but there's great gain by the strength of the ox. Men are oxen. And to Satan, we are toxic, very toxic. And we need to remember that. Let's poison him by standing up and being men, preaching the gospel. And we only do that by knowing the word of God. Thank you for the chance.
Yes. Yes, thank you so much for your comments. Very, very helpful and very, very poignantly pointed, and that is absolutely true. And it goes back to the very focus of what I'm wanting us to understand today, just as this caller was making mention. What we're seeing happening is through the transgender movement, the LGBTQ movement, the socialist women's march movement, it's all part and part of the social justice feminization movement, where we're trying to feminize society so that it makes men and women almost on the equal plane from the standpoint of talk, communication, sexual activity, and dress, and the dress mode. And it's destroying our nation today, ladies and gentlemen. The larger issue is that the toxic masculinity movement is designed to destroy God's plan and God's pattern for mankind. It is anti-God, anti-man movement when you hear the term toxic masculinity. I believe we have another caller on the phone. Go ahead with your call or your comment, please.
It's amazing to me how they take something good, you know, being a manly man, that's, you know, historically, that's been exactly what we want. You've got some professional now saying that toxic masculinity is doing harm to the U.S. Marine Corps. And I say just the opposite. Now, that's exactly what – not toxic masculinity, but masculinity is exactly what you want, the bold, brave warrior. But Satan's objective and his pattern has not shifted. Literally all the way back to the Garden of Eden, he attempted to and succeeded in confusing Eve. He twisted God's word. When Satan faced off with Jesus in the wilderness, he tried to take elements of scripture and principles that are good things and twist them and contort them. So we take, you know, God's creation, male and female created he them, and they've tried to twist and pervert every element of that, take good things and make them poisonous and confuse things by saying we have numbers. I pulled a chart the other day with 32 different genders on it. Now, I understand there are many more than that that they're claiming. You know, we have male and female. You go to the Webster's Dictionary, 1828 anyway, and it's very clearly gender is male or female, okay? All this other stuff, you know, really falls into a deception or a disorder doesn't fall into the real of science. The American Psychological Association referenced those as psychological disorders up until recently, many of them. And, of course, many of them are just new creation. Fabric. Gets me most is we have an element, whether we call it Hollywood or some of these folks, elitist Wall Street types, that will pitch sex. They sell sex. They sell sex. And then they turn around and try to claim some moral high ground, and all boorish behavior that they mentioning, they try to say, we're going to put a stop to this. You created it, people. You created shows like Two and a Half Men that play the song Manly Man as it's coming on, and the entire show is a end-to-end boorish behavior. Then you try to attribute that boorish behavior to men as if, listen, being man, the boorish pig.
That's well, one of the things, as I said earlier in the broadcast, and perhaps you heard that, is it's an attempt to destroy the moral, ethical value, the fundamental foundation of what God has done in creating man. God's plan for man is to be wise, courageous, strong, yet humble and faithful and loving. In fact, just as the previous caller had said, man is to be the head of the home, the head of the church, the head of the family, the head of government. In fact, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse, the Bible says, for the husband is to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. God created man that way. But just as you have just mentioned so correctly, is that Hollywood has developed a straw man, and now they're shooting at the straw man, and the whole point is to undermine and tear down and destroy. In fact, you touched on it with the Marine Corps and other military branches we find today. The purpose of military is to go in and kill people and break things, as I've always used the term. And yet now you're hearing them scream and cry that they've got to have women on the front line. I watched one of the news broadcasts the other afternoon where they had a shim on there, a male that had served in military in one of the elite squadrons of the military forces for some 20 years, and now has made a transition to a shim, as I call it, and some might get upset with that. There's no such thing. You can go in and you can cut off body parts, you can add body parts, and the DNA is still male or female. God created us, male and female created he them, the scripture says. And by the way, when we think about the masculinity of being in dominant control, the scripture is very clear in Genesis, the first chapter, about verse 23 and following, where man is to rule and to be dominant over the world. And that's why God created man. And yet we hear it called today toxic masculinity. It makes my stomach churn. Go ahead with your comments.
Think of just the term, toxic, poisonous, and direct with masculinity, as if there's some element of masculinity that would ever at any level be toxic. You have manly men throughout the scripture that did great and wonderful things, and the four men and made a mistake, was not attached to their manhood but attached to their sinful nature.
Yes.
A manly man, if we're going to go through and preach this, you do have with that same piece, have already brought it out, that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There is no greater love. Can you quote that verse? No greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Now, that love is expressed on the cross through Jesus Christ and through the husband for his wife, when that love is so great that they are willing to lay down their lives. That is an honor. That is a bold sacrifice type of manly man. And that's
you find throughout the scripture. Throughout the scripture with Peter and Paul and Nehemiah and Samson and Solomon and David, etc. They were all strong men. They were not toxic. They were strong men. In fact, David, even in his some of his moral declensions and his weaknesses, stood for God. David, as you recall, is the one that stood against Goliath. That's a real man, and that's what God calls men to be. But it takes that faith and family, looking out for our future. It takes that commitment to God and the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to stand on the Word of God.
So, you've shared this, and I know your time is running, and I don't want to steal your thunder, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Have you already shared that?
No, I haven't. Go ahead.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. It's, you know, go out and be a man. Man up. Basically, do your part. Play your part. Fulfill your role. Somehow or other, even within our church, much of this has been lost. The teaching of the gospel, we've missed the place, the role of men, as, you know, as provider, as defender, and all this wrapped in a requirement that we love, not just love one another, but love your children and love your wives and write down things spawn the greatest honorable expression of manhood.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at an article, if you could continue to hold and join with me on this, looking at an article here says, what is toxic masculinity? The article says there are two ideas, toxic and masculinity. Typically implies that all things masculine are inherently toxic. And that's very similar to what you just stated just a moment ago. Further in this article, it talks about it being a prejudiced, unfair attitude and open hatred to men and all their masculinity. It goes on to say in this article, schools, care centers, recreation programs, even churches now tend to promote equality on the results of communal work, sentimentality, and other more typically feminine expressions, end quote. This article further says the result is an environment where girls expressing more typically girlish behavior feel empowered and connected, and boys expressing more typically boyish behavior are made to feel rejected, ashamed, and demeaned, end quote. The article then finally says, culturally, the problem with deriding all expressions of manhood or toxic masculinity is that it makes legitimately wrong behaviors toward and makes it harder to confront those that are actually in wrong behavior. Use of the anti-male term like toxic masculinity causes even benign expressions of maleness to be labeled as inappropriate in some fashion, and it blurs the distinction between males and toxicity and therefore condemns all masculinity. And I believe that's what it's intended to do.
The degradation that we're seeing has much to do with the left and its propensity toward redefining words, perverting words, you know, putting toxic in front of masculinity. Of course, is saying that there's some poison within masculinity. Decades back, we would say that such boorish behavior out of any group, we'd call them a pig or call them a hound dog or whatever. But that didn't have to do with their being male or masculine. It had to do with them having character. You know, there's a man we just celebrated this past Monday, and Martin Luther King, in his words, you know, he's longed for the day that his children would be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And these leftists now would like to identify individuals. They like to partition individuals and make men, particularly white in this country, something to be disparaged, to be put upon, to be ridiculed. This is a very harmful thing, but this is what happens when we allow the left to redefine words. By the way, of the boorish behavior, the piggish behavior, the hound dog behavior, I've seen men be that way and women that way, every color of the rainbow be that way. Pigs are pigs, hound dogs are hound dogs, but don't color any group, whether they be red, yellow, black, or white, male or female, with this paint, with this deriding, with this hateful redefining of their gender or of their color. That's truly the definition of prejudice. These folks are pandering prejudice and would like to create a new group of prejudice that would absolutely be detrimental to the entire society. When you undermine the man, you have literally undermined one of God's intended cores for our culture.
Yes. In closing, we've got about 10-15 seconds. Let me just simply say this. Men ought not to be ashamed of their heterosexuality, ought not to be ashamed of their faith. We ought not to be ashamed to stand for faith and family and to fight for the future of our nation. And it's through the transgender movement, it is through the gender dysphoria movement, it's through the homosexual movement, it's through the LGBTQ movement and the feminist movement today that's trying to tear down and destroy God's plan for man. Man, according to God's word, ought to reject promiscuity, ought to reject arrogance, ought to reject pride, and we ought to be commended to love and to be a gentleman and to be strong and boldness and courage and standing for the truth. And that's what God's called us to do, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining in this dialogue and discussion today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.